The pungent aroma of the awakening spring earth and the manure of the 100-odd horse entries of the Middleburg hunt races wafted over the soft, greening field. Spaces allocated to patrons of the races were filled with elaborately decorated tables, some with candelabra, crystal and silver tureens, colorful flower arrangements, linen tablecloths, and exotic food concoctions. Some were tented and served by waiters in black tie, and the air was often punctuated by the sounds of champagne bottles popping. Others were merely sumptuous tailgate parties, complete with full bar and more rustic food placed elegantly on checkered tablecloths. As always, Fiona Fitzgerald noted, there was less interest in the races and more in the imbibing and socializing. Chappie Chapin's bash was a case in point. There he was, ex-ambassador to Switzerland, now a bachelor man about town, holding forth alongside his yellow and black antique rolls, complete with a horn that trilled "Pop Goes the Weasel" on command. As a long-standing patron of the races, he had a choice upfront location. Chappie, although he did not ride, looked the part of the gentleman horseman. His tall frame was ramrod straight, and his clipped mustache on a pink complexion gave him an outdoorsy look that belied his sedentary life. His relaxed hosting of this little group of 10 bespoke a practiced social elegance. He wore a plaid deerstalker cap and matching cape, which, on him, looked perfectly normal. Chappie always had a good group to the hunt races, and he was usually a patron of most of them in the Washington area. His menu was invariable, made with his own hands in his lovely house in Georgetown. Spicy fried chicken, delicious syrupy baked beans and bacon, his own secret formula, and lush chocolate brownies. And of course, pitchers of Bloody Marys, champagne, and whatever else alcoholic his guests might desire.
"What race is this?"
Harvey Halloran asked, turning casually toward the field, where a number of horses were steeplechasing around the track. Few of Chappie's guests paid any attention to the races, except to place an occasional bet with the various gentlemen bookies that collected slips near the official tent. Halloran was a lobbyist for the oil and gas industry. The other guests included a congressman and his wife, a State Department assistant secretary and his girlfriend, the Peruvian ambassador and his wife, and a stockbroker and his male live-in lover. To Fiona, they were familiar Washington types, par for the course. An invitation to one of Chappie's tailgating racing parties was a hot ticket, and Fiona was often invited as Chappie's date when he didn't have a steady on his arm and she wasn't toiling in the eggplant's homicide vineyard. Today she was here out of her own sheer therapeutic necessity. Things downtown were depressing. Drug gang wars and the accelerating introduction of automatic weapons had considerably raised the homicide body count, putting unbearable pressure on the entire department. A hurricane of death was sweeping through Washington, and homicide was in its vortex. The mayor and his appointed police commissioner were being harassed by the media, especially the Washington Post, which had dubbed Washington the murder capital of the USA. And the chief of homicide, Captain Luther Green, called the eggplant by his underlings, was taking flack from all sides. Eggplant was, of course, a term of affectionate derision, its origins murky, but its tradition tenacious. Because of the pressure, Captain Green had become even more irritable and subject to tantrums as he pushed the squad to find the perpetrators. He also worried incessantly about the dangers that this new and bloodier environment posed to the squad. So far, no one on the squad had been hurt, although cops in other departments had been killed. Ironically, the eggplant had become an object of pity, and although it would seem less than macho to mention it, Fiona knew that his troops were deeply worried about him. The fact was that everyone in homicide was edgy and nervous and naturally disgruntled by the longer hours and often futile searches for trigger-happy, ruthless drug gang members, many of whom were juveniles.